be frightened of me because I'm different from you. See, earthlings, I offer my mandibles in friendship. Grasp them in the same spirit. You have nothing to fear. I have no weapon. I have circled your planet in my great silver spacecraft. I believe you earthlings have a phrase for it. Unidentified flying object.
UFO.
Oh, well, if that's how you feel, I won't.
And not before time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Round the Horn.
Hello and welcome to the show. First, the part of the program you've all been looking forward to.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenny Vaughan with Kenny...
Oh, Philip Smith.
Well, it's the part I always look forward to.
Sit down. I was referring to the answers to last week's quiz. Now, you'll remember we asked listeners to complete the proverb. Now, the first proverb was, it's a long road that has no. Well, the correct answer was turning, and I received an alternative answer from Mr. J.D. of Hove, and if his road is really as long as he says it is and it hasn't got one, I can only suggest he petitions his local council. The final proverb was, look before you. And again, Mr. J.D. of Hove didn't get it quite right. Leap was the solution we wanted. Still, Mr. J.D., your advice is very good, but in your example, I should check the wind as well. Forward Smith.
Sir.
Right.
We continue our Movie Go Wrong series with another film adaptation. If you remember last week, we did a searing expose of circus life. Yes, we lifted the lid off Coco. This week, Pornographic Productions proudly, indeed flagrantly, present The Celluloid Jungle. Hollywood, what human dramas have not been set in this pulsating heart of the film world?
Well, this one hasn't for a start. It's set in Sidcup.
Oh.
My name is Liu King. I'm an agent. Drop into my office at any time and you're sure to see some of the biggest stars. There's a hole in the ceiling. I was sitting there one day when a voluptuous girl in a low-cut dress came in. She leaned over my desk.
Are you Liu King?
Well, I haven't got much choice, really.
I'm Bloodwin. Bloodwin Blubber. I come from Wales.
Oh, dear, Blubber from Wales. The writers will stoop to anything, won't they? What can I do for you, my dear?
Oh, I want to be a film star, and you can make me. You can make me.
Well, you've got the right attitude, I'll say that. I could see this girl had something. I swiveled in my chair. I often do when I'm excited. Tell me a little about yourself, young woman.
Well, I come from a big family, Mr. King. I had 17 brothers. Father went down the mine.
Not very often, by the sound.
He'd come home so covered in coal dust that Mother used to burn the bath water. Oh, 'twere hard life. One girl among 17 brothers. I began to think there was something missing.
That's understandable, too. I was touched. Well, I must have been. I gave her a contract. Now, come, my dear. I'll take you to Super Colossal Mammoth Gigantic Productions Limited. Their office is just across the road over the cat's meat shop.
I am Cecil B. De Tribehammer, head of the studios. I am a modest, likable egomaniac.
I am the famous film director, Federico Fellini. Yes. I am so talented that I cannot conceal it. After all, talent will out.
All we need is the right actress.
Mr. Tribehammer, I think I got the biggest thing in show business. this young lady, Blodwyn Blubber.
Hello, Mr. Tripehammer. Oh, please give me a part. Any part you like. I'll show you what I can do.
Okay. Okay, babe, I'll give you a chance.
Aye, Federico Fellini will personally mould her for stardom. I've moulded many stars. I'm the mouldiest director in the business. But first, we must get rid of that New Zealand accent.
New Zealand? It's Welsh.
You could have fooled me, don't you?
The long process of making Blodwyn a star began. First, a session under the sunray lamp to get that glamorous tan. Then, elocution lessons.
Oh, now, brown cow.
Very well, thank you.
No. I want you to repeat it after me, my dear. And you must keep your vowels open.
I'll do my best. Oh, no, brown cow.
Pear shapes, my dear. Let's see those pear shapes. Yes. Yes. Note where I'm resting my hand. I want to hear your voice coming from there.
You must be joking. Still, I'll try. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
She's got it, by George, she's got it. And if she hasn't, she's going to get it any minute now.
Step by step, Blodwyn learned her craft. Drama school.
Come along, young lady. I will instruct you in the method.
Thank you.
Now then, imagine that you are a doorknob.
Yes, I am a doorknob. I am a doorknob. Ha! Oh, you did give me a turn.
Excellent.
Blodwyn learned a lot at drama school. Soon she was ready for her first film part. I drove her to the studios.
For the benefit of my adoring public, I should point out that I, Douglas Smith, am playing the studios. I sprawl across several acres, and each of my entrances is guarded by uniformed men. I am impregnable.
Well, you don't look it.
Oh, it's very kind.
Once inside the vast, rambling Douglas Smith, I took Blodwyn to the soundstage.
Oh, Blodwyn, you're here. Now, don't be nervous. You should photograph well. You have great things in front of you. Right, lights, cameras, roll them.
What, here in front of everybody?
Oh, no. Let me explain the setup. You see here a sleazy hotel room, a rumpled bed, and this swarthy man lies there smoking. You enter, your upper lip bedewed.
Yes?
We know what you're after. You cross to the bed, pull off the sheets.
Yes.
Then you wash them in Glimmo. We're making a soap powder commercial.
Well, it was a start. More parts came her way. In The Curse of the Mummy, she played the midwife. In the remake of Lassie Come Home, she played the lead. All small parts, but one day, Cecil B. de Tripehammer called me in a panic.
Now, look here, in a panic.
He never could remember my name.
I want this girl of yours to take over the starring role in my new movie. The actress who was to play it has fractured her leg.
This was the break Blodwyn had been waiting for. The following day, work started on her big picture. Now, tell me, Federico, what's this film all about?
It's a modern film, all about dangling London.
You mean swinging London?
You make your films, I'll make mine.
During the months that followed, I hardly ever saw Blodwyn. She spent a lot of time on the studio floor. But eventually came the big day, the world premiere of her film. We were planning to hold it in Leicester Square, but fortunately we managed to get a cinema. The audience rose to Blodwyn's performance. It was the only way they could throw things.
They're all...
Take it off!
It's disgraceful!
Terrible!
It's disgusting!
Blodwyn was heartbroken.
Oh, Mr. King! Sob, gulp. I've let them down. I've let them down. And Mr. King, after this, nobody will want me. Tell me, are you prepared to go on handling me?
Of course I am, yes. The thing to do now is to get you back in front of that audience before you lose your nerve. Now, look, here, put this on. Get out there and make a personal appearance. You can do it.
Right. Right, Mr. King. Chuck, I see his peanuts. Something on the stick.
And she did very well at the job. So ends this week's production. Next week, we'll be showing you U-Boat 59. That's for those of you who like films with subtitles. Now, it's not often that we ask the audience at Round the Horn to join in the chorus. But in Der Fledermaus, there is one aria which is so catchy. So catchy that one feels almost compelled to let oneself go with the soloist. I refer, of course, to El Forza di Luce. Jim and I, as children, played together. Best of chums for many years were we. I, alas, had no luck, was a Jonah. Jim, my chum, was lucky as could be. Oh, lucky Jim. Oh, I envy him. Oh, lucky Jim. How I envy him. Years passed by, still Jim and I were comrades. He and I both loved the same sweet maid. She loved Jim and married him one evening, which is odd. Should have been the morning. Jim was lucky, I unlucky stayed. Oh, lucky Jim. How I envy him. Oh, lucky Jim. How I envy him. Now, Max, I think a minor key, a very, very sad verse coming up. Years rolled on and death took Jim away. Boys, left his widow. And she married me. Now we're married. Oft I think of Jim. Boys. Sleeping in the churchyard by the sea. All together now. Oh, how I envy him. Your last chance now. Smith, I thought the audience were absolutely splendid, didn't you?
Well, there were one or two that weren't joining in.
Really?
Yes.
Ah, well, Festival Hall next week.
Yes.
And thank you, Alice, for the piano.
Thank you, Alice.
Good old Alice. And now, carrying on the ceaseless fight against literacy and good taste, we bring you the radio station to end them all, with any luck, Radio Balls Pond Road.
Since the station has been operating, we've had many interesting comments, and we'd like to give you a selection of listeners' reactions. Another listener writes,
Radio Balls Pond Road has changed my life completely. I used to be dull, listless, and lackluster with dishpan hands, lank hair, and telltale crow's feet all over. In short, a wallflower. Now I am the belle of the horsemeat shop, and my repartee is the talk of Canonbury. Yes, I'm a different person now since Radio Balls Pond Road come into my life. Signed, Fred Perkins.
Thank you, Fred, and if you take my advice, I'd stop taking the tablets. Now, here's another letter from a listener.
The so-called impersonations of Simon D on your so-called show
annoy me no end. They're not funny, neither are they pithy or to the point. They're as tasteless and puerile, and they're not even like me.
Signed,
Simon D.
Pressed.
Horse Pond Road is wonderful.
When it comes to the reporting of world affairs, Radio Balls Pond Road does not lag behind its rivals. So come in, L. Dugard, 14 Brass, our reporter in the field. Thank you. And here, live from Washington, is our foreign correspondent, Gerald Monkshabit, by Radio Link. And I must apologize in advance for the bad line.
Things are moving here in Washington. Earlier today, I had a quiet with Senator Halfbright and later discussed the position with Dean Crust. He feels that there can be no move toward until has had with, which I'm sure will ease the situation. On the subject of mutual... reports are coming in from Asia that although Mao Zedong has recently... in the Yangtze... many Chinese have a very small... ooh, and some have none at all. By European standards, that is.
Well, thank you, Gerald. From Washington. And now we have with us our young visitor from the Antipodes, Miss Judy Coolibar. Now, tell me, how are you finding it in London?
What are you getting at, Bluey?
Well, I'm not getting at anything.
You pommies are all weirdos. I mean, the way you dress. The sides of your hats have all fallen down. Yeah, sure, I know you, Pommies. You were the ones who invented that obscene public spectacle, cricket.
Cricket? Obscene?
I've read about it. Bowling a maiden over. A leg glance. Knocking a poor fella's bails off. Not to mention a man in the gully. And we all know what that means. Oh, you're all the same over here. A girl ain't safe. I went into the cinema the other day. I had to change my seat 6 times.
You mean you were molested?
Indeed I was. Eventually.
And there she goes, her wobble bird wobbling and her billabong poised for action. Now to the part of the show where people phone in with their problems and air their views on topics of the moment. Ah, there's the first call. Hello.
I wonder if you could oblige a lady.
Well, I'll put you on to Hugh Paddock. It's more his line of country.
Oh, no, no, no. It's about this book I'm writing. 1,001 Things a Girl Can Do with a Bloater. Mr. Horn, I can only think of 3.
Well, have you tried converting it into a table lamp?
Yes.
Entering it for the Derby?
Yes.
Pressing it between the pages of Captain Spock's Guide to the Turf?
Yes, that's the 3 I thought of. Frankly, I can't think of anything else to do with my bloater.
Well, meaning no disrespect, as far as I'm concerned, you can take your bloater and...
Oh, 4. Thank you. You've been most helpful.
It's my pleasure.
5.
Hello? Ah, the ubiquitous grunt futtock. Now, what's your problem?
I have written to the TV program going for a song repeatedly, but they have spurned up their noses at my letters.
Oh, you mean the show all about antiques? Now,
yes, on the television.
That's right. Right. What did you write to them about?
Well, I have a curious old object which would baffle the experts.
Are you boasting or complaining, Mr.
I want them to put a price on it. I feel this piece is of inestimable value, and I would feel a thrill of pride if they were to pass it round amongst themselves and express an opinion as to its worth.
Well, now, what is this object?
I'll describe it for you. It's two curiously wrought legs, a low front. There's what appears to be a face on it, and the patina is of a mottled hue. It's been hanging about the house collecting dust for a good while now, and I'm curious to know what I could get for it.
Well, it sounds jolly interesting. Yes. I'll have a word with the Going for a Song people.
Oh.
I'm sure they'll get it on the program.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Orne. Mother, get your coat on. You're on the telly.
Hello?
Mr. Orne?
Yes?
Excuse me if my voice sounds muffled, but I'm speaking to you from under the bedclothes. I have a problem I'd like to talk to you about.
Have you talked to your family doctor about it?
Well, he's under here with me. And he can't help. You see, my problem is I'm terribly shy. I can't. Well, that is, I can, but I don't like to. But I do like to, only I can't. And when I do, it doesn't seem to work. And it's worse when I do it in public, because I can sense people sneering at me. Is there a school for it, or can I do it through the post?
Well, it depends on the size of your letterbox. But if you'll send me details, I'll see what I can do in a plain envelope.
Right.
Painful to be strangled by the old school tie. Well, that's all the calls we've got time for. But if you've got a problem and feel that a word in the right place would help, well, let me know and I'll send you the word and the place to use it. And talking of personal problems, here is Rambling Sid Rumpo, who can be consulted in confidence. Rambling Sid.
Thank you very much. Hello, me dear ears. This week I'm going to sing you a song of the Irish Troubles, which generally occur every Saturday night after closing. that time when, full of nostalgia and draught stout, the expatriate Irish lurch nimbly forth from the hostelry and gather in small groups, wordling mournfully until the police arrive. There's after this fashion, brightly but wheezily. If you ever nudge your artifacts in England and find yourself in far-off Camden Town, though the English girls may sneer at your shillelagh, they can't grasp it like they do in County Down. But remembering the land from whence you sprung, lads, a country that will never let you down, keep your munging splods forever at the ready, and never nurk for less than half a crown. And that's time and half on Sundays, of course. Keep your grunges green and keep your moolies burning. They'll come in useful even over here. But remember, though the streets are paved with trunnions, they'll deport you if you wordle on the pier. Yes, on the pier.
Oh, that was touching, wasn't it? Makes you want to go out and scrope Val Dunican with a knotted Eamon Andrews. Now, the other evening I was sitting quietly at home, leafing through the current edition of Who's Who in Chicken Sexing, when the phone rang. Apparently, I'd won a free dancing lesson, and the next morning I presented myself at the Boner Academy of Ballroom Dancing. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Paul. Hello. Oh, no. is Bardi, a jolly oldie.
Thank you.
Jewel and I are practicing a new variation on our Passo Double.
Oh. Well, I'll come back later if you like.
No, Trollin won't keep you a minute.
We're just polishing up on our ensemble work.
Yes. For our formation.
Formation.
Yes, we do it simultaneously, you know.
Yes. Now, what are your particular needs, Miss Rawls?
We do it all here.
Now, what do you suggest?
Well, you have your black bottom or your military three-step.
Shouldn't that be two-step?
Well, no, we go one step beyond with the military. Yes. Yes, we troll the gamut of your terpsichore from the rudiments of the Valita right through your gentleman's excuse me.
Well, I think I better start at the beginning. I don't know much about dancing.
Well, we start you off with an easy one. The fox troll. Yes. Good for your eyeballs. Yes, right, take up your gentleman's positions. That's right.
Haven't you any female partners?
Yes. Well, there's Mrs. Bulstrode the char, but it's her day off.
So you'll have to imagine Julia is a Dolly Pallone, all dragged up in yards of tulle. With tinsel in her rye and a beauty spot on her left cheek.
It's going to be difficult, you know, to imagine Jewel like that.
It might be difficult for you, but it'll be easy for Jewel, won't it?
Nothing easier.
It's
the projection, you see.
That's what it is.
It's the projection you use, you see. I can project myself into any situation.
He can
and do.
He's got a personal magnetism.
Yes.
Enables him to project himself right across the ballroom.
Yes.
I've seen him do it.
No.
I've seen him do it.
No, you're too kind.
Don't hide your light under the bushel. Come out of it. He denigrates himself.
I don't.
You do. You run yourself down. True, Miss Drawn. You see him in the spot walls. He's a thing of beauty.
And a joy forever.
A joy forever. Joy. Keats, you
yes.
see. Bird, thou never wert.
No. So,
oh, that was from that. I wrote that for him. Ode to an Omi. Oh, no. He moves. He moves like a bit of thistle down.
Oh, I do.
I do.
Yes. I've always been a natural mover.
Well, he's got the legs for it. Show him. His lallies are a joy to behold. He's got all the natural equipment for a ballroom dancer.
Yes.
He could have been another Harry Smith Amster.
Yes.
He could have been a solid rock.
I could.
Yes?
I'll give it up, then.
Give it up.
I'll give up the competition dancing.
Tell him why. Go on, tell him why you're going.
I don't.
Tell
like
him why.
To.
Go on.
No.
Go on, listen. Listen here. He'll understand. He's an Omi of the world. Purge yourself.
I'll take
Come
it
out with it. Purge yourself.
All right. It all happened at the Houndsgate all-comers freestyle.
All-comers freestyle?
Yes. There I was, with my number on my back.
All the judges had his number.
I was Boner in the quick step and Fantabulosa in the tango. Nobody come near my dashing white sergeant.
No. You've been eating onions.
All was going well, but then come my downfall. I slipped up on my Latin American variations.
How painful for you.
Yeah.
I just put that in to remind you I was still here.
Don't interrupt you, Mr. Owen.
What happened exactly?
Well, it was during the conga. I made a fatal error of judgment, which was misunderstood by the Pallone in front.
Tell him for why!
No,
tell him for why! Tell him, go on!
Well, you see, it turned out it wasn't the conga at all.
What was it? Tell him!
Tell
him! Tell him!
It was the cue for the ladies' powder room.
And they went off in a flurry of talcum powder. Cheerio, see you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horn, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marston. On the musical side, you heard the Max Harris Group. The script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook, and Donald Webster. The program is produced by John Simmons.